Indulge in all your holiday faves this season, knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves with Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake. It's your post-holiday recovery kit with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. And it actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you can even savor the season with their limited edition chocolate mint. There are endless ways to personalize your Ka'Chava, whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee. With every 2 scoops of Ka'Chava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Ka'Chava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off. That's Ka'Chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code NEWS.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Surprise Jab Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Ruger, spicy with new topics every single week, and jamming with your daily dose of UFC, and we are all UFC on today's episode as we have your official UFC Baku predictions, otherwise known as UFC Azerbaijan, or Azerbaijan, however you say it. But yes, we are going to a brand new country the UFC has never been to in Baku, Azerbaijan. Yeah, I'm excited for it. I'm very excited for it. Should be a fun one. I always like spicy it up, going to different locations, you know, not sticking to the same old routine, like going to Las Vegas or New Jersey or Canada or freaking, where else do we go? Florida? I don't know. Actually, Florida crowds are usually pretty good, but I'm happy to spice it up with a brand new location. So we have our predictions and preview for the entire UFC Baku card. Also, we'll be looking at a bunch of new UFC fights to open up the event as we are, the card, I should say. There's Dana White dropped the official UFC Abu Dhabi card, the entire main card, so we're going to be talking about that, as well as some other fights, new fights that have been announced, however you want to phrase it. Also, guys, I have a new YouTube channel. That's right, it is the Zach Ruger, maybe it's just under Zach Ruger YouTube channel, but you can find the link in the bio on pretty much all of my social medias. And yes, we uploaded our first video. It was so fun making. It was hectic. And obviously, it's not the style I want to do things in. But we are going to improve and continue to make high quality content. So with that, let's not waste any time. Let's dive right on in with a bunch of new UFC fights. And we have 9 brand new fights that have been made official. But I also did just want to say that for that UFC Abu Dhabi card, the main event, of course, is going to be Robert Whittaker versus Rainer Day Ritter. How fun. How fun. I mean, Robert Whittaker has been on an absolute tear whenever he's not fighting someone of a high, high level. And as for Rainer Day Ritter, coming in the UFC, 3-0, all finishes. He's knocked off Bo Nickel and Kevin Holland so far in 2025. An opportunity to take on Robert Whittaker should not be passed up. And I do love the fact that when we look at the fight history of Robert Whittaker, the only guys he has lost to since his time at middleweight, and I mean this dates back freaking almost a decade long, is Israel Adesanya, Driscus du Plessis, and Khamzat Chimaev. That says a lot about how freaking good Robert Whittaker is. As a Rainer Day Ritter, he's on a 4-fight winning streak. His only losses are to this guy named Anatoly, who is one champion, or he might have lost one championship, but it's only him. He was his kryptonite. So far, we have yet to see Rainer Day Ritter face too much adversity in the UFC. I mean, he manhandled Bo Nickel, manhandled Kevin Holland, and had a shaky debut against GM3, but he was still able to finish GM3 in round number 3, so that should be a fun main event. In the co-main event, brand new fight officially announced. It was rumored for so long. It is going to be 5 rounds. The number 4 ranked featherweight on the planet, Mozvar Evlov, 19-0, undefeated, 9-0. In the UFC, too, that ain't too bad, if I don't say so myself, with wins over Diego Lopez, Aljamain Sterling, Arnold Allen. That is right, Mozvar Evlov takes on Aaron Pico. Making his UFC debut, Aaron Pico is 13-4, coming over from Bellator. Yeah, should be a great matchup, and the winner of this is probably getting the next title shot. I kid you not, the winner of this is probably getting the next title shot. As for that Rainer Day Ritter Robert Whittaker fight, I think whoever wins that is probably next in line for number 1 contenders title fight, because I'm pretty sure Nazar Nemov is going to fight Kyle Barallo. We have Khamzat Chimaev fighting for the belt, so I'm thinking Robert Whittaker and Rainer Day Ritter, winner of that, can fight for a number 1 contender fight. And as for this one, this featherweight matchup should determine the next guy in line. It has to determine the next guy in line, I feel. Mozvar, if he wins, he'll be 20-0, and I think everyone is kind of looking at these Russian guys, like if anyone can get to 30-0 and pass Khabib's 29-0, I don't know. They may be a different breed of their own. But yes, fun matchups there. Also, Piotr Jan, Marcus McGee. We already knew about that. That is also on that card as well. Nikita Krylov versus Bogdan Guskov, which I didn't even know. Bogdan Guskov has a 100% finish rate. Nikita Krylov has a 93% finish rate, which means you're most definitely getting a boring three-round decision. No, I'm just, I hope not. I hope not. But Nikita Krylov making a kind of quick turnaround after getting his legs put out cold by Dominic Reyes. As for Bogdan Guskov, dude's been on an absolute tear. Love watching him fight. So that should be a fun one. And then the final fight to round out the main card for UFC Abu Dhabi July 26th. Bantamweight matchup as Saeed Nurmagomedov, who is 18-4. You know, always love seeing Saeed Nurmagomedov back in action. Takes on, dropping down in weight, Bryce Thugnasty Mitchell. That's right, Bryce Mitchell going down in weight, looking to change up the scenery, you know. Gets finished by Topura, gets finished by Emmett, now recently finished by Gene Silva. Time to make a change. And going down to bantamweight, I think, could be that change. He is 8-3 overall in the UFC. Not too bad, only 31 years old. We actually are only 3 days apart from our birthdays. He's October 4th, I'm October 1st. So love to see it, Bryce Mitchell. And Saeed Nurmagomedov is a perfect opponent. And the winner of that gets a ranked opponent. Whoever wins this matchup gets a ranked opponent, and I think it is as close as one could get. But I do want to analyze that. The last time I saw Saeed Nurmagomedov struggle was against the guy in Jonathan Martinez, who floated between featherweight and bantamweight. So I don't know. There could be a correlation. There could not be. That's just an observation. But yes, those are all the big matchups that have been announced for UFC Abu Dhabi. And let's talk about some lesser level UFC fights that have been announced. UFC Vegas 108 going down August 2nd has a new featherweight fight as Danny Silva, who is 10-1, 2-0 in the UFC, coming off a win over Josh Kuliabao, takes on Kevin El Chino Vallejos. Kevin, 15-1, 1-0 in the UFC, won his debut against Sungwoo Choi in nasty fashion. This should be a fun featherweight matchup. And unfortunately, it's on the apex, but what are you going to do? Another one for that UFC Vegas 108 card. Matheus Rebecca finally back in action. Holy cow. 4-1 in the UFC, 20-2. Been waiting, I feel like, forever to get Matheus Rebecca back in there. He takes on Chris Duncan. And Chris Duncan, 4-1. Absolute beauty. I mean, this guy has came in, knocked off Jordan Vucevic recently. He's been great, 13-2 professionally. Those are two great lightweight and featherweight matchups on the prelims for UFC Vegas 108. Or you can even throw him on the main card. Who knows? Another one for that one at featherweight, Francis Marshall. 2-3, looking to finally get back in the winning column as he takes on Austin Bashee. Austin Bashee, great UFC prospect, was 13-0, and then unfortunately ran into the prospect killer in Christian Rodriguez, which makes no sense. Chris Rodriguez can only win fights against up-and-coming rising contenders. So unfortunately, Austin Bashee was on the losing end of that, but he's back. Him versus Francis Marshall should be a good fight. And honestly, I might ride Austin Bashee when that takes place. UFC 319, another fight for you. This one, I mean, they're loading up this UFC Chicago card. I might have to fork over a couple hundred to go watch it. King Green back in action as he takes on Carlos Diego Ferreira. That's right, Diego Ferreira coming back, 10-6 of the UFC. Bobby Green or King Green, 13-12 in the UFC. I mean, these are two legends of the game. Legends of the game nearing the end of their careers. You know, they're approaching 40. I think Ferreira actually is 40. And as for Bobby Green, he turns 39 in September. So going to be interesting to see how this one goes. I watched both of these guys get knocked out. I've seen both of them get knockouts. It's going to be a fun contest. I'm excited for it. Another one for that UFC Chicago card, Edson Barboza. Edson Barboza takes on Dracar Close. I was thinking it was going to be Steve Garcia Jr., but I think Steve is actually taking on, what's his face, Calvin Kattar. I think that's the fight that's going to be taking place. So Edson Barboza, been a while since I've seen Edson. I can't even recall the last time I saw Edson Barboza fight. And Dracar Close is a perfect opponent for him to take on. I mean, talk about that Joe Selecki win when he bashed his head in. Yeah, absolutely love that. So that should be a fun contest, and I'm excited for it. UFC Vegas 109, of course, on August 9th, has a fun bantamweight matchup as Miles Chapo Johns takes on Gene Matsumoto. Gene suffering his first professional defeat with a split decision loss to Rob Font earlier this year, looking to bounce back. And I think Miles Johns is a perfect opponent to see. Can Gene Matsumoto go to the top of the rankings, or will he be stuck in the unranked bantamweight contender category? I'm probably going to ride with Gene Matsumoto, but that is a very close matchup. And then the final bout that has been recently announced, bantamweight again on that Vegas 109 card, Elijah Smith, 8-1, won his UFC debut over Vince Morales. Good prospect. Really good prospect. He takes on Toshimi Kazama, who was 1-1 in the UFC. He holds a win over Charlampis Gergao. It's been, you know, lackluster. But, you know, I think it's a good win for Elijah Smith if he can get past him. And I'm excited to see all these fights later on in the year. But, yeah, the cards have just been getting loaded up left, right, and center. And we're in for a good one. We are in for a good one, let me tell you. The summer of UFC is looking great. Everyone's been so negative, I feel. Everyone's been so negative. And, you know, it's hard to not get swept up into the negativeness of everything. But I try and stay away from it all. I try and keep a positive head on my shoulders. And we're going to look forward to all the good stuff coming up ahead. So, with that, we'll move on from our new UFC fights. Let's get right on into our UFC Baku predictions. I mean, we are not messing around at all on today's episode. We are all business. We're all UFC Baku. We got 12 fights, and we're going to go 12-0 on predictions. And if you want to make some bets, you can win some money. So, without a doubt, let's dive right on into it. Kicking off the card, we head to the men's heavyweight division, and we have, oh, an interesting matchup here, as Hamdi the Hammer Abdelwahab is back in action as he takes on the Motor Mohamed Usman. Still cannot believe that both these guys are still in the UFC, but nonetheless, we need heavyweights. We do need heavyweights. So Hamdi Abdelwahab the Hammer, 6-0 with 1 no contest. The Motor Mohamed Usman, that's right, the younger brother of Kamaru, 11-4. Both men are 6'2", 7 inches in reach for Mohamed, 79 inches of 72 southpaw with that left for Hamdi, orthodox with the right for Usman. We'll start with Hamdi. He's the favorite, -200. Mo Usman is +165. And Hamdi, you know what? He's had 2 fights in the UFC in the last 3 freaking years. That is right. He had a no contest in 2022 and an overturned decision win. And he came back in February of this year and won a split decision fight over Jamal Pogues in just, oh my gosh, boring fashion. Just ridiculous. Just utterly ridiculous. It might have even been a kind of sketchy decision. You know, he was outstruck every single round. I don't really know, but yeah, certainly an interesting career of Hamdi Abdelwahab. 32 years old, from Cairo, Egypt, but now trains out of New York. These were actually supposed to fight May 17th, but now it has been moved to this card. And of his 6 wins, he has 3 by knockout. So good for Hamdi. His opponent, Mohamed Usman, bit more UFC experience with 5 fights compared to 2. 36 years old, from Nigeria, but now lives and trains out of Arlington, Texas. 6 of his 11 wins are by finish, 4 KOs and 2 subs, and he's only ever been finished once by submission, which was actually in the PFL, if I'm not mistaken, or Bellator. PFL or Bellator, one of the two. Started off his UFC career 3-0, actually won the Ultimate Fighter with a nasty knockout of Zach Pauga, and then put a back-to-back just boring performances over Junior Tough and Jake Collier in fights that he won, and then he has since put up 2 brutal boring fights against Mick Parkin and Thomas Pearson in 2024. So he is riding a little 2-fight losing streak, but he's looking to get back to his winning ways with this fight. Now, as far as these two are concerned, I mean, bottom of the barrel for UFC heavyweights. I mean, I kid you not, when I look at the UFC heavyweight rankings, I'm sure Martin Boudet and Mick Parkin and Ty Tuivasa would knock these guys out.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Cold, so I don't really know. I don't really care. I'm going to go Mohamed Usman because he's got a good reach. He's got more experience. And you know what? He's freaking Mohamed Usman. And I'm pretty sure I picked him to win in the 2 fights that he's lost. So I'm ready to bounce back, actually predict a Mohamed Usman fight where he wins correctly. So we're going to go with Mohamed Usman over Hamdi Abdelwahab. Now, I would like to say that since he actually has power in his fist, that he would get a knockout, but I'm just going to go with a decision. Might even go split decision. Why not? I don't expect much out of this contest. Now, moving on. Things things get exciting here as the number 12 ranked flyweight in the world, Tagir Limbekov, takes on Azat Maksum. Tagir at minus 290 is a hefty favorite at plus 235. Azat is an underdog. And honestly, I don't mind him as an underdog if you did want to pick him. Tagir, 16-2. Azat Kwazak, his nickname, Kwazak. Azat Maksum, 15-1. Both men are 5'7". Both men have a 70-inch reach, and both men stand the southpaw stance. These two are just about even as they get in. They're both grapplers to make matters better. Tagir is the number 12 flyweight on the planet, currently on a 3-fight winning streak. The 33-year-old is from Dagestan, Russia, and out of his 16 wins, has 9 of them by submission. Good for him. He was originally supposed to take on Kyoji Horiguchi on this fight card, and Kyoji Horiguchi is a legend outside the UFC. I believe it's either in Rizin or ONE Championship, and he's fought in the UFC before. He is a world beater, and this was going to be his reintroduction to the UFC. Unfortunately, I don't know if he got injured or something happened, but he is not going to be in the UFC fighting. So instead, Tagir will be taking on Azat Maksum, and Azat Maksum is 1-1. In the UFC, legend outside the UFC, 30 years old from Kazakhstan, 9 of his 15 wins by finish, 4 KOs and 5 subs. And he hasn't fought since February of 2024 when he lost his first fight, a fight of the night against Charles Johnson. He did have a fight against CJ Vergara booked for August 3rd of 2024, but that never came to fruition. He pulled out of that, I believe. So he's back, he's ready, and it's been an interesting run for both of these guys. You know, Tagir on this win streak, submission wins over Nate Maniz and Cody Durden. His last win was in January, beat the undefeated Clayton Carpenter. His only career loss in the UFC to Tim Elliott. For Azat Maksum, you know, beat Tyson Nam by split decision, lost to Charles Johnson. You know, certainly on the ground, Azat Maksum has looked better in his two UFC fights, but he's taking on a guy, Tagir Limbekov, who is an expert in the grappling realm. I mean, when Tagir took on Cody Durden, he threw up 5 submission attempts throughout 2 rounds before submitting him with 25 seconds left. So this guy's legit. This guy's hungry. And I'm unfortunately, I just think they're doing my boy Azat Maksum dirty, because if you can't get past Charles Johnson, you're not getting past Tagir Limbekov. So we are going to ride with Tagir Limbekov, and might even go with submission, but we're going to go with decision, because something's telling me we're going to open up this card with a couple of some decision victories. That's what we're going to go with there. Now, transitioning, we get back-to-back women's bantamweight matchups. Ooh, I know, everyone's favorite. Everyone's favorite, if you ask me. And we start with Irina Russian Ronda Oleksiva taking on Claudia Segula. Irina 5-2, Claudia 6-2. Both women are 5'8", 2 inches in reach to Claudia, 69 inches to 67, and an orthodox stance for our ladies. Irina Russian Ronda minus 225, Claudia plus 185. She comes in as the underdog. Irina 1-1 in the UFC. The 34-year-old is from Russia, and of her 5 wins, has 1 knockout out and 2 submissions. Beat Stephanie Edgar with a knee bar in April of 2023, and last time she fought, October 2023, she lost to Melissa Mullen. So, Irina back in action, been a minute, yeah, but the 2 years, closer to 2 years than we are to 1 year of the last time Irina Oleksiva has fought. It's been so freaking long since we've seen her, and I don't know if there have been injuries or anything. She hasn't even been tied to another fight in that time period, but nonetheless, she's here, and she's trying to break into the women's bantamweight rankings, and she'll look to do that when she takes on Claudia Segula. Claudia, 26 years old, from Poland, 2 KOs and 1 sub, give her 3 of her 6 wins by finish, and on both of her 2 losses, she has been knocked out and submitted in. Lost to Melissa Mullins in November in her UFC debut, basically got ground and pounded, then TKO'd. That was just kind of what happens. Got her back taken in, got her brains bashed in. But I will say, in terms of looks, Claudia Segula, not too shabby. Not too shabby, Claudia Segula. As for Irina Oleksiva, when she had long hair, she looked good. But since shaving her head and going for like a dyke haircut, just hasn't really doing it for Irina Oleksiva. Now, in terms of how these two are going to do, I have no idea. I truly have no idea. Like, if I'm being honest, Irina Oleksiva should be the pick. She should be an obvious prediction. But when she last fought Melissa Mullins, she had a great round one and then proceeded to drop the last 2 rounds in kind of boring fashion. That was 2 years ago. As for Claudia Segula, I know for a fact that she is, you know, fought more recently. Mind you, the takedowns were not going in her favor, so it's a toss-up. Gonna be honest, I'm going off of looks. I'm going over Poland, over Russia. I'm going with the underdog, Claudia Segula. Should I be? Should I be going with Claudia Segula? I don't actually know. I'm starting to second guess myself, if I'm being honest. Something might be telling me Irina more. It's just there's nothing to go off of with this, guys. That's the issue that I'm facing in terms of my predictions. They're both inactive. It's women's bantamweight. Let me look at the... Was I going to pick the underdog in the other one? All right, we are going to go... I don't know how many underdogs I'm picking on this card, actually. I might be picking a lot. So, Irina, you know what, guys? We're going to go with Claudia Segula. Why? I don't freaking know. Why not? Don't knock me. We're going with Claudia Segula by a shocking submission win. That's what's happening. We got to pick some underdogs on here. And plus, she's not too bad to look at. Hey, I'm not objectifying anyone. All right, moving on. Next women's bantamweight matchup as Daria Iron Lady Zelina. Okay, stick with me now. Zelazinakova. Wow. If that isn't the most Russian name I've ever heard of. Takes on Melissa No Mess Mullins. Daria, 9-2. Melissa, 7-1. 5'9 to 5'7, 2 inches in height for Daria. And the same reach and the same stance for both of these ladies. That is right. 68 inches in orthodox stance. We shall begin with Daria. I really want to get this correct. Zelazinakova. Wow. It's just so fun to say. Zella Zanivakova, I kind of got it down now. She is the underdog, plus 210. Melissa is the minus 260 favorite. Daria, 29 years old from St. Petersburg, Russia, but now fights out of Paris, France. Interesting. Of her 9 wins, she has 5 by knockout. In both of her losses, she has been finished in once by knockout and once by submission. Last time she fought was in, not the last time she fought. These two actually did fight in 2022, where Melissa got a round 1 ground and pound finish. So, fascinating enough. Daria, last time she fought, September, Aling Perez submitted her in round number 1, so there's what you have there. And before that, she did pick a win over Montezair Rendon in 2024 March. So, been over a year since she last won, been almost a year since she last fought, but, you know, hey, is what it is. Daria Zelenikova, we'll see how she does. Her opponent, Melissa Mullins. Melissa Mullins, so weird, 33 years old, from England. 4 knockouts of her 7 wins. Only her 1 loss was by a TKO. She's actually beaten every single woman we've mentioned. She holds a win over the person she's fighting, Daria. She holds a win over Irina Alexeva, and she holds a win over Claudia Segula. How weird is that? So Melissa Mullins is actually the real dominant one out of all the women on this card, but she's coming off a win in November, TKO'd Claudia Segula with some ground and pound. And before that, she did lose to Nora Canole in April of 2024. So I do want to say that Nora Canole is the number 12 women's bantamweight and is on like a freaking 6-fight winning streak or something. So Nora Canole, very talented. But the winner of this, definitely going to break into the rankings, especially Melissa Mullins wins this one. Daria just left a little to be desired with Aileen Perez. Yet again, for more preference, Aileen Perez is number 7 women's bantamweight on the planet, but Melissa Mullins has just proven to be much more dominant in the striking realm, and in terms of when she gets into your back and she ground and pounds you, and we're going to go with Melissa Mullins. So we're going to go with Melissa Mullins to get a finish here. I think both four women's bantamweight matchups give us surprise finishes just because no one sees it coming, but yeah, I'm going with Melissa Mullins to win and get a ranked opponent after this, or even just move her into the rankings. I can care less. Middleweight division up next as Ismael Naradiv takes on the Iron Turtle, Jun Young Park. Oh, doesn't love the Iron Turtle. Ismael, 24-7. Jun Young, 18-6. 5'10 for both these gentlemen. 74 inches in reach, 73. 1 inch for Naradiv and orthodox stance for both of our fighters. And Ismael, plus 185 is the underdog at minus 225. Jun Young Park is coming in as the favorite. Ismael, 28 years old, born in Russia, but now fights out of Monaco. Ooh, that's a place I want to visit, guys. Monaco, most definitely. 2-fight winning streak for Ismael Nuradiv. He was cut from the UFC in 2022, was able to go out, fight in some other promotions, eventually wound his way back up in October, where he beat Bruno Silva due to his grappling. Before that, he got 1-1 and suffered a loss to Sean Brady. That was the highlight of his 2019 to 2020. It was literally a year. In a year, he had 4 fights, went 2-2, and they were like, yeah, you're not ready, but he's back. This dude has 18 of his 24 wins by finish, 12 by knockout, 6 by sub, and of his 7 defeats, he has been finished in 4 of them. These two are actually supposed to fight May 17th, but that May 17th card was cursed. I swear, everyone was supposed to fight there. We were supposed to have Hamdi and Mo. We were supposed to have Aaron Pico, Mo's for Evlov. We were supposed to have Ismael and Jun Young, but nonetheless, we're getting all those fights either on this card or later down the line, as we mentioned, but Naradiv really leaned on the grappling in that Bruno Silva win, and yeah, We'll see how he does against Joon Young Park. Joon Young Park, ladies and gentlemen, 34 years old from Seoul, South Korea. 11 of his wins are by finish, 5 KOs and 6 subs. And of his 6 defeats, he's been finished in 3 of them. So, Joon Young, been with the UFC since 2019. Not too bad. He's gone 8-3 over that time period. Losses to Anthony Hernandez, Gregory Rodriguez, and Andre Munoz, which are not too bad if you're being honest. So he was on a 4-fight win streak before losing to Andre Munoz in 2023 by split decision. He would come back in October of 2024, which was his last fight, when he took on Brad Tavares, and he won that by split decision. I thought that was, you know, an obvious Joon Young Park win, but that's just me. Round one, obviously went to Brad Tavares, but then round two, Joon Young bounced back on the feet. And then round three, Joon Young used his grappling to win. So Park back in action. It's kind of tricky to tell what's going to come of this matchup. I will say Ishmael is the slight younger fighter by 6 years, but winning against Bruno Silva and winning against Brad Tavares are similar yet indifferent. When I look at these sort of matchups so evenly, they really are. And Ishmael, I would love to pick you, but I think we got to ride with the Iron Turtle. I think we got to, you know, as much as Ishmael is a juicy underdog prediction, like if you're betting, like, I'm going to be honest, pretty much every single underdog in this card, yeah, I would bet. I would bet on every underdog on this card. Maybe not Nicholas Moda, no offense to Nicholas, or Sung Kyung. Actually, Sung Hung Ko, maybe, but I don't know. This one's tricky, but I would love to ride with the Iron Turtle, Joon Young Park, because he's kind of like a little meme, but in a good way. Everyone just loves me, a little Joon Young Park. Next up, welterweight division, as another man from Seoul, South Korea, is in the UFC as Suk Kyung Ko, the Korean Tyson, takes on Oban, the Welsh gangster. Elliot, this is going to be a good one. This one, guys, right here, right on the calendar. Check it out. Suk Kyung Ko, 11-2. Oban, 12-2. 5'10 to 6 foot. Bit of height for Oban. 72 to 71 reach. Bit of reach for Oban. Southpaw for Ko. Orthodox for Oban Elliott. Oban, the minus 600 favorite. Ko is coming in at plus 375. Big underdog. Big underdog and big favorite here. But nonetheless, we will ride with Suk Kyung Ko as we see how he is. Suk Kyung from Seoul, South Korea, as we mentioned, 4-fight winning streak. 6 of his 11 wins are by knockout, and both of his losses have came by knockout. He's actually supposed to fight Billy Ray Goff May 31st. Unfortunately, I pulled out of that fight for some reason, and we sacrificed Billy Ray Goff to Ramiz Brahmash, who absolutely killed him. So, last time, Sung Kyung Ko fought September 2024, picked up a win on Day One's Contender Series in a close decision win over Igor Cavalcante. I wonder if Igor Cavalcante is in any relation to Jacqueline Cavalcante, the number 11 woman's bantamweight. I would be curious, to say the least. But, I mean, with a nickname like the Korean Tyson, I could get behind this guy. I really could. I mean, dude is an absolute beauty. So, with a name like that, a nickname like that, I kind of like that. The only issue, Suk Kyung Ko, is you're taking on a man otherwise known as the Welsh Gangster Lad. That might be more of an Irish accent. But, nonetheless, Oban Elliott, his opponent, a dog. Just an absolute dog. 27 years old from Wales on an 8-fight winning streak. 6 of his 12 wins are by finish, 3 KOs and 3 subs, and both of his losses have come by knockout. He was actually supposed to fight Ramiz Brahmash May 31st, so we did a little opponent switch here, and I arguably think that these two match up much better. Oban had kind of just been coasting in 2024, decision win Val Woodburn, decision win Preston Parsons, then picked up a massive win over Basel Hafez, earning himself a performance of the bonus round 3 knockout at UFC 309. So Oban is back, and he's ready to swing down and everything, and there's just something about this card I don't know. This fight, I should better say, where it's just these underdogs are just so promising. But then part of me wonders, you know, they're underdogs for a reason. So Oban is coming in at minus 600. I have not seen much of the Korean Tyson in Suk Kyung Ko. So I'm thinking with the momentum he's riding, I'm thinking he's inevitably headed toward an actual fight with Ramiz Brahmash at welterweight. But I'm going to go with Oban Elliott. He's the biggest favorite on this card for a reason, and I'm pretty confident that he can get it done. So Oban Elliott over Suk Kyung Ko, I could see another knockout. He might have finally unlocked that power in his hands that he's been waiting to unleash, and he can use that to his advantage to continue to get to victory. So we're going to ride with Oban Elliott over Suk Kyung Ko, but I am torn because the Korean Tyson is such a cool nickname. But nonetheless, our predictions are final for that. Then we dive into our final prelim of the evening, unless we go for a 6-fight main card. I never know what the UFC elects to do, but with these fight nights, sometimes it's five, sometimes it's six. But this is either going to open the main card or close out the prelims, and it is Muhammad Hilmadnaimov taking on Bogdan the Unleashed Grodd in the men's featherweight division. Minus 225 for Naimov, plus 185 for Bogdan Grodd, favorite and underdog. Muhammad 12-3, Bogdan 15-2. 5'9 to 5'8, bit of height for Muhammad, and the same reach for both these gentlemen and stance. 70 inches reach, orthodox stance position. Muhammad, 30 years old from Tajikistan, now fights out of Denver, Colorado. I'm pretty sure he trains at the same gym as Curtis Blades, Corey Sandhagen. Where was that? Elevation MMA, whatever it is. I don't know. He might. 5 KOs and 3 subs. Give him 8 of his 12 wins by finish. So good stuff for Muhammad Naimov. He's 4-1 in the UFC. His only loss is to Felipe Lima, which was a short nose fight, I will say. But you know, he's gotten a good knockout over Jamie Malarkey. Good decision win over Nathaniel Wood. Eric Silva injured himself against him in 2024. Last time he fought in 2025, he beat Khan Offley and just kind of a sloppy win. It was kind of like, oh, that's whatever. Right? He won, but I'll never forget him losing to Colin Anglin on Damus Quintero series. He should never have lost that fight. That was brutal. But you know what? Since losing on Damus Quintero series, taking some time off, he has since come in 4-1. Not too bad for Muhammad Naimov. His opponent, Bogdan Grodd, fairly new to the UFC, 29 years old from Romania, but now fights out of Austria. 4-fight winning streak for the young lad, and he does have 12 of 15 wins by finish, 9 KOs and 3 subs. And since coming back to the UFC in 2024, he is coming off a nice win in 2025 of this year. He lost to Tom Nolan on Damus Quintero season 2023, left the company, picked up a win, came back on season 8, beat Michael Aswell by split decision, made his debut in February, and got a round 2 TKO over Lucas Alexander. Looked pretty good doing it, if I don't say so myself. But Lucas Alexander isn't the best, you know, opposition, and Muhammad Naimov is a tough cookie. Very tough cookie to crack. So I don't know what we're going to get here, but there's something about Bogdan Grodd. I was just drawing me in plus 185. This is a very close fight, in my opinion. If Muhammad Naimov is going out losing to Felipe Lima, how's he going to do when he gets taken down by Bogdan Grodd? That's my opinion. The only time we have seen Muhammad Naimov struggle is when he gets taken down. So I'm going to go with Bogdan Grodd here. And you know what? I like it. I like this Bogdan Grodd prediction because there's too many underdogs. There's too many underdogs that are so appetizing on here. I can't pick them all, but I do have to pick some of them. And I do believe Bogdan Grodd will pluff a little upset, if you want to call it that, in advance in the featherweight division upwards. Now, getting into what will officially be our main card, whether it's the second or first fight, Nazim the Black Wolf Sadiqov takes on Nicholas Iron Mota. And I do want to say, before starters, Nazim is a minus 395 favorite. And Nicholas is a plus 310 underdog. These odds should be way more apart. Nazim should be a massive favorite here. Nazim, the Black Wolf, 10-1-1 on a 10-fight winning streak, takes on the 15-5 with one no contest, Nicholas Mota. 1 inch in height for Nazim, 1 inch in reach for Mota, southpaw for Sadiqov, orthodox for Mota. They're kind of like the adverse of one another. Nazim, 31 years old. Guess where he's from, guys? That is right, Azerbaijan. That is right. This is a Baku native, and yeah, you already know they're going to be cheering crazy for this guy. Now does train out of New York. He trains with Aljamain Sterling and Marab at Ray Longo Jiu-Jitsu or whatever his gym is, but dude's been a killer. 7 KOs, 2 subs, 9 of his 10 wins by finish. Is just one absolute dog. Yet to lose in the UFC so far, one on Damus Quintero season 2022, debuted with a fight of the night against Evan Elder, managed after brutally getting almost finished in round one by Terrence McKinney, fights back and submits him in 2023, had a fight of the night draw against Vyacheslav Borshev in November 2023, took a year off, came back in February 2025, and beat Ishmael Bonfim up so badly in round one, he couldn't even continue. So Nazim back in action, love to see him, and this is a dude that I kid you not, I can see him fighting upwards. Lightweight division, look out, Nazim Sadiqov is coming for it all, but his next stop is, of course, against Nicholas Mota. Nicholas Mota is interesting. 3-2 with a no contest in the UFC. 32 years old from Brazil, but now fights out of Las Vegas. 10 of his 15 wins come by knockout, and all 5 of his losses he's been finished in, 4 of those by knockout. He actually made his UFC debut against Jim Miller, who knocked him out. He then beat couple unranked guys, Cameron Van Camp, you know, lost to Manuel Torres, had an overturned loss to Trey Ogden, such BS. He's so should have lost this. But upset Tom Nolan to keep his job last January, and in November 2024, beat Mahashat. So he's kind of earned his right to remain in the UFC somehow, but Nicholas Mota, No, you're not lasting long. Nazeem is knocking him out. He's getting him out of there. I think he beats him up badly. A little ground and pound round one TKO. If it goes to it round two, I'm thinking an early knockdown and submission. I'm riding with Nazeem Sadiqov all day. You know I love the hometown guys. When we're fighting in Azerbaijan, for goodness sakes, I got to ride with at least one of the hometown people. So Nazeem Sadiqov with a name like the Black Wolf, I mean, you know we're riding with this guy. Lightweight division, we'll stick with you. I got two more fights in there. First up, Tofik Musayev makes his UFC debut against I've always gotten this wrong. Micah Tybek Oralbay? It might be my Tybek Oralbay. I don't know. We've mentioned it many a time so far. 22-5 for Tofik Musayev. 13-2-1 for Oralbay. 1 inch in height for Oralbay. 5 inches in reach for Oralbay. They're both in the orthodox fighting position. And -180 to +125. Oralbay is the favorite. Now, let's start with the debuting man, Tofik Musayev. 35 years old on a 2-fight winning streak. He is also from Baku, Azerbaijan. That's right. They got two guys from Azerbaijan on the card. Well, maybe some other fighters have ties, but officially on Tapeology, the countries they are fighting out of and grown up in, yes, Azerbaijan. So Tofik, 18 KOs and 2 subs. He's got 20 of his 22 wins by finish, absolute dog. And of his 5 defeats, he's been finished in 4 of them, 3 by sub. Last time he fought, November 2023, so it's been a minute since you saw Tofik Musayev fight, but this dude's been an absolute killer so far out of the UFC, and now he's finally getting in here. No better time than in Azerbaijan. But unfortunately, they're starting him out with just a toughie. Oh my goodness. Mytebek Oralbay, 27 years old from Kyrgyzstan, 11 of his 13 wins by finish, 6 KOs, 5 subs, and he's just had such a great debut. Wins over Uros Medic and Elvis Brenner led him to a fight of the night against Matheus Rebeke, where he lost a split decision last October. But I mean, Uros Medic, Elvis Brenner, Matheus Rebeke, 3 tough names to debut against for Mytebek Oralbay. And the only reason, I kid you not, I would pick Musayev is because he's from Azerbaijan. That's the only reason. But Oralbay is 8 years younger. I've seen him do much more damage so far in the UFC. He has fought 3 times since the last time that Tofik Musayev fought. And he's looked pretty dang good doing it. So, Tofik, I'm so sorry. Maybe he's good. Maybe he just goes out and starches him right off the bat. But I'm going to go with Mytebek Oralbay to get himself a little round one submission. Maybe Tofik gets ahead of himself. Maybe even Tofik comes in a bit too green and literally Oralbay goes right over and hits him with a big cross and knocks him out. Wouldn't that be legendary? Drops him, then submits him. I could see that same thing. So, we are going to ride with Mytebek Oralbay. He's from Kyrgyzstan. Taking on the Azerbaijan. That's right. We love it. Then we get into what is, I'm going to consider, the big three of today's card. Your big three fights of today's card. And we kick things off with a heavyweight matchup as the number 5 heavyweight in the world, Curtis Blaydes, finally, I mean, mind you, I'm recording this on a Wednesday. We still have a couple days until this fight is supposed to take on Rizvan Kunia. These two, I feel like fate has told us these two shouldn't fight. But Curtis Blaydes, you know him, you love him. 18-5, 1 no contest. Rizvan, 12-2 with a draw and a no contest. Both men are 6'4", 4 inches in reach for Curtis. 80 inches, 76. Some people forget Curtis has an 80-inch reach. Big reach on the guy. Orthodox stance for both of these gentlemen. At -265, Curtis is the favorite. At +215, Rizvan is the underdog. Da-da-da-da. And Curtis Blaydes, you know, you love this guy. 34 years old from Naperville, Chicago. How about that? Naperville, Illinois. I mean, he now lives in Chicago, Illinois. But my whole family lives right near Naperville. And you know what? He's now in Chicago, not too far. Been there a while, and it's just an absolute crime he is not on that Chicago card. I mean, can Curtis go out and start this guy? And can we get Curtis a turnaround fight against, goodness me, anyone? Mick Parkin, Martin Boudet, Waldo Cortez Acosta? I mean, come on. Come on, if we could get a quick Waldo Cortez Acosta turnaround fight, that would be awesome. But Blaydes, 13 of his 18 wins by knockout. All 5 of his losses have came by knockout. And these two have just been unable to fight each other. We're supposed to fight in February, and then they're supposed to fight in March. And they were fizzled. They were supposed to be fighting on one of the pay-per-views. And they were like, you know what, we're actually going to move this down the line. And now they start finally fighting in Azerbaijan. But Blaydes has just always, oh man, it hurts. Curtis Blaydes' career has just always hurt. This dude has always been one win away from a championship. He fought Francis Ngannou to take on Stipe Miocic, and he lost. He then went on to fight Alexander Volkov, beat him. Him and Derek Lewis fought in a title eliminator, and Derek Lewis knocked him out. He then actually got a shot to take on Sergey Pavlovich, and the winner was going to get an interim title shot, and Sergey Pavlovich knocked him out. And then he eventually did get an interim title shot last time he fought in July of 2024, and Tom Aspinall finished him in exactly 60 seconds. So yeah, it's been a tough career for Curtis, but we never back down on Curtis. No. I mean, look at the guys who have beaten him. The five losses he's had, two are to Francis Ngannou, one is to Derek Lewis, one is to Sergey Pavlovich, and one is to Tom Aspinall. So we know that Curtis Blaydes has only lost to the best of the best. And funny enough, he actually had the takedown record set on him in a round by Holton Almeida, and he finished him the following round. And mind you, Curtis Blaydes has the most takedowns in heavyweight history. And he's up there in UFC history all the time. So Curtis is just such a fun guy, and we finally get to see him back as he takes on Rizvan Kuniyev. Rizvan, 32 years old from Dagestan, Russia. Six KOs and three subs give him nine of 12 wins by finish, and he's on a current 11 fight winning streak. Yes, but the last time he lost, 2019, so you know this dude is pretty good. Last time he fought, August 2024, got a round one finish over Hugo Cunha to get a UFC contract. He actually made it to the UFC in 2021, got a round three finish on Davis Contender Series, and they just didn't give him a contract. So I guess he didn't actually make it to the UFC, but Rizvan looking to finally make his UFC debut, and you know what? If he's taking the number five guy, it must mean he's pretty freaking good. But the one thing we're not going to do is give him the benefit of the doubt over our boy Curtis Blaydes. We've counted out Curtis before. They have tried to do this to my boy so many times. I mean, the Holton Almeida fight, the Chris Daukaus fight, the Jairzinho Rozenstruik fight, the, you know, all these guys they throw at Curtis, and he just pushes them all to the side. Now, this is a big boy. You know, Rizvan Kuniyev, he's a fatty. He has a lot of pounds on his body. But I think that Curtis can overcome him with his wrestling. Rizvan is a wrestler himself. If Curtis can get past that, get himself his own ground and pound, get back in the win column, I would love to see him make a turnaround and fight in Chicago, Illinois. The pop for Curtis when they say, from Chicago, Illinois, Curtis Razor Blaydes. Oh my gosh, that place would explode. If I'm in person there, I'm going ballistic. So, Curtis, I don't care if you're taking on Tom Aspinall again. I'm picking you, buddy. Let's do it, Curtis. Bounce back win over Rizvan Kuniyev. With that, guys, we dive into our co-main event. A fantastic co-main event, too, might I add. We head to the men's lightweight division as the number, where are they at? 11-ranked Rafael Fiziev takes on the now unranked Ignacio Melendez. I mean, there's no reason he shouldn't be unranked, but they just have been bumping around the rankings for some reason. Minus 105 for Fiziev, minus 130 for Ignacio. This is your most even matchup of the entire night. Rafael Ottoman Fiziev, 12-4. Ignacio La Jaula Bahamadez, 17-5. 6'3". To 5'8", you have an insane 8-inch height discrepancy. That is freaking bonkers. Bonkers, if you ask me. It's actually, I think, 7, but nonetheless. 4 inches in reach, though, for Ignacio, 75-71, so a bit closer there. Switch stance for Fiziev, orthodox for Bahamadez. Rafael, we'll start with him, the number 11-ranked lightweight. I was about to say flyweight on the planet, but a lightweight, most definitely at 155, Rafael Fiziev, 32 years old from Kazakhstan, but now, of course, fights out of Pathak, Thailand. Tiger Muay Thai, 9 of his 12 wins are by finish, 8 KOs and 1 sub, and 2 of his 4 losses have come by knockout. Yes, Fiziev, he is more known as a, a kickboxer, legendary kickboxer, and, you know, he had a good run in the UFC, of course, made his debut, got knocked out, shockingly, by Magomed Mustaev in 90 seconds, actually under 90 seconds, shocking. Would then go on a nice little 6-fight winning streak with 2 fight of the nights, and 3 performance bonuses, wins over King Green, Renato Moicano, Brad Riddell, Rafael dos Anjos. Amazing. But that Rafael dos Anjos win July 2022 was, in fact, the last time he's won. So it has been almost close to a month and 3 years since we've last seen him win, which is very unfortunate. In that time span, he's lost twice to Justin Gaethje, most recently in March of 2025, and gotten injured against Matheus Gamrot in a TKO injury defeat. So 3-fight losing streak for Fiziev, and I do find it crazy that, you know, he's fought Justin Gaethje twice and has lived to tell the tale, hasn't been knocked out, so good stuff for him, but, you know, taking on a lanky striker like Ignacio, he's going to need to mix it up with them kicks to the legs, kick to the bodies, maybe even mix in some takedowns. You know, we saw him mix in takedowns against Gaethje in the last fight. We've also seen him mix in one against Mark Diakise and Alex White back in 2019-2022, so we do know it's not impossible, but he's going to need to do something as he takes on the lanky lanky man, the tall man, and Ignacio Bahamadez. Ignacio, 27 years old from Chile, but now fights out of Chicago, Illinois. I mean, come on. Come on, for goodness sakes, UFC. We have a card in Chicago in August. Let's get my boy Ignacio on there as well. If he gets past, win or lose. But if he wins, maybe we could get him versus, I don't know, Dan Hooker, Matheus Gamrot. Ooh, the Matheus Gamrot one. I would support that. Ignacio, 11 KOs, 2 subs. That's right, 13 of 17 wins by finish. And of his 5 losses, he's been submitted twice so far. And the UFC, dude is 6-2. Not too bad, currently on a 3-fight winning streak. He has 5 of those 6 wins by finish. His last loss was in August of 2023. Got grappled to death by Ludwig Klein. But April 2024, knocks out Christos Gyagos with a nasty head kick. September 2024, knocks out Manuel Torres, the only knockout of the night on at UFC Noche. And then March of this year, UFC 313, submits Jalen Turner in 2.5 minutes. Actually, 2 minutes, 29 seconds, if we want to be very specific. And now he's ready. He is so ready for this opportunity, and he's not going to falter. I got Ignacio with a round 1 knockout. I think it's going to come with a head kick. I think it's going to be typical Ignacio landing a head kick, typical Fazeev somehow getting caught with a head kick. So Ignacio over Fazeev, the height is just far too much for Fazeev to overcome. But if Fazeev can get it done, I mean, props to him, because it has been a rough road. Almost 3 years to the day since we've seen him lose. Last get a win, I should say. We saw him lose in March, but dude's an absolute dog. And we'll see how Ignacio does. We're going to root for him. So Ignacio over Fazeev by round 1 head kick knockout. With that, ladies and gentlemen, we go to the men's light heavyweight division for your main event. And similar to Curtis Blaydes and Rizvan Cooney, I've been waiting a while to watch these guys fight as Jamal Sweet Dreams Hill takes on Khalil Roundtree Jr. Jamal Hill, 12-3, 1 no contest. Khalil, 14-6 with 1 no contest. 6'4 to 6'1, 3 inches in height for Hill and 3 inches in reach, go along with that 79-76 southpaw. Both these guys. I didn't even know both these guys were southpaw. How about that? Jamal Hill plus 130, Roundtree minus 155. I honestly figured Khalil would have been a bit bigger of a favorite, but it is what it is. Jamal, the number 4 light heavyweight on the planet. Khalil, the number 7 light heavyweight on the planet. Jamal Hill, 34 years old from Michigan. 7 KOs of his 12 wins, and of his 3 losses, he's been knocked out 3 times. That makes more sense when I look at it. Jamal Hill, I mean, is, what will you make of him? You'll make of him for many things, but he is, these two have been linked together multiple times. UFC 303, 2024, that's right, UFC 303, these two were supposed to fight. Then these two were supposed to main event Kansas City, and then, of course, Jamal Hill pulled out. So finally, these two are in the octagon against one another, and it's just been a long time coming. But Jamal, been in the UFC since 2020, you know, losses to Paul Craig. Most recently, he's on a 2-fight losing streak, knockout losses to Alex Pereira. Most recently, in January, Jiří Procházka. Last win, January 2023 against Glover Teixeira. Last win over someone actively on the roster, February 2022 against Johnny Walker. So it has been a fat minute since we've seen Jamal actually tested. His last 2 wins were in 2023 and 2022 over Glover Teixeira and Thiago Santos. Mind you, some of his other wins, Jimmy Crute, Ovin St. Preux, Darko Stozic. So this guy hasn't really been fighting anyone as of late that he's picked up a victory over. But, I mean, it's tough when you make it to the top and that you have to fight all these killers. So we won't knock him too much for losing to Alex Pereira and Jiří Procházka. Especially, he looked pretty decent at times in that Jiří Procházka fight. But we'll see how he does against the dark horse, Khalil Roundtree Jr. with some very cool custom shorts for this, might I add. You should go check those out, guys. 35 years old from California, but now fights and trains out of Las Vegas. 9 knockouts make up his 14 victories, and of his 6 defeats, he's been finished 4 times, 3 of those by KO. Roundtree, been with the UFC for 9 freaking years now, dude, debuted in 2016. He's fought some tough guys over the years. Prime Paul Craig, all right? Prime Johnny Walker. He's fought Ian Cudelaba in his prime, Marcin Prachinio, and then he stringed together a 5-fight winning streak with knockouts over Modestus Bukauskas, Carl Robertson, Chris Daukaus, and Anthony Smith. His last win in December of 2023. Last time he fought, October 2024, he took on Alex Pereira in what might have been my favorite main event of 2024. I mean, it was up there with Topuria and Holloway. I think this one might have been my number 2, but I mean, he won the first 2 rounds of that fight over Alex Pereira. It was absolutely crazy. Outstruck Alex Pereira 15-10 in round 1, 18-11 in round 2, and then unfortunately just got sucked into the absolute devastation that is the power of Alex Pereira. But Clay Roundtree Jr., legend. He hits freaking hard, almost knocked out Alex Barrera. I should preference that. And as far as this one goes, I got him putting Jamal Hill's lights out. I really do. I think Khalil is in his prime at 35 years old. And some of these light heavyweights coming into their prime when they're old. It's just a recurring thing. You got Al Blachowicz, Glover Teixeira, Alex Barrera you could even use. But yeah, we're going to go with Khalil Roundtree Jr. I will be very surprised if Jamal Hill wins. I can kid you not. Even though Jamal Sweet Dreams Hill, he is known for the power in his fists. If he does lose, or if he does win, I should say, I will be very surprised. I will be very surprised because Jamal is just, you know, he just hasn't done much as of late, especially getting knocked out back-to-back fights. And this, I'm not going to say this is too quick of a turnaround. It's like a five-month turnaround since getting knocked out, but it certainly won't be playing in his favor. So we're going to go with Khalil Roundtree Jr. We're going to go with a little round two knockout. That's our prediction for the main event of UFC Baku. But that's right, ladies and gentlemen, this is a fun card. It's a really fun card. A lot of cool picks up and down. I got a couple underdogs here and there. I think I landed with like 3 to 4 underdogs, but man, so many are tempting, especially when you're making a parlay and you're just adding those pluses together and you're like, oh my gosh, maybe if I just pick Sung Koy over Robon Elliott at +395, then I could go from winning $1,000 to $5,000. That's literally how it goes. But UFC Baku should be super fun. It's live on regular TV on ABC. It might even be on midday. I don't know the time difference when you head over to Baku, but hey, this is going to be a fun, fun event, and I am pumped for it. But with that, that is our final predictions for UFC Baku, otherwise known as, I'm calling it, UFC Azerbaijan. So let me know what you guys think is going to happen. Please let me know. Please hit me up. I mean, come on. Show some support, ladies and gentlemen. Let me know. I don't actually know if anyone listens to this. I generally wonder, but if you do listen, hit me up. Let me know. Let me know what you guys would want to hear from, what I could change perhaps. But you know what? The future is bright, ladies and gentlemen. The future is bright. We're going to continue to make these podcast episodes. Episode 200 is coming up next. I'm super pumped about. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the future looks bright. And as always, I'll see you next time on the Surprise Jab Podcast.